Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. If you're in the area, consider joining us for our weekly services, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have lunch together, free of charge, each week following our service. Everyone is welcome. We're located in the city of Tucker, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. Directions and other information are available on our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com.
God, as we get into your word today, as we dive in just deeper with you, I pray that you would just work in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Show us where there might be barriers, where there might be places that you want to do something new in us, and help us to just be receptive to that. Open our ears to hear what you're wanting to do and our minds to see new opportunities. And so, God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever you're talking to somebody or telling somebody something, what's the number one thing that you need from that person? Like if you're talking, maybe it's you're talking to your kids about something really important, or kids, maybe it's you're talking to your parents about something important, or you're talking to your friends, or you're sharing it with your students or your coworkers. The number one thing I think that you want from them is that they're listening, right? I mean, when you're sharing something that's important with them, you want them to listen. See, listening is not the same as hearing. Hearing is a little bit different. See, listening requires something. And if you don't get anything else out of the message today, that's what I want you to get, is that thing right at the beginning, that listening and hearing are not the same thing. Right? Listening requires not only that you are paying it, well, it requires that you're paying attention to them. But it also, then, when it's warranted, it requires some kind of a response back. Right? We've all been talking to somebody, probably, I would think, and we share something with them, and then we get to a place where we're waiting for a response from them, and they realize they haven't been listening to what I've been saying. They're just kind of staring at you, and you go, okay, well, I realize there's no engagement in that. I would say listening versus hearing, as this is the best example I could think of, is that when you'll be out driving, maybe you're in the city, or it doesn't happen as much on the highway, and you hear a siren, fire truck, ambulance, police car. You hear it, right? Hearing it just means, hey, I noticed there's a siren. Listening is what? Where's that siren? Where's that coming from? Do I need to get out of the way, or is that somewhere else? Am I going to have to stop here at this intersection, or should I go ahead and pull through? Hearing it is just being aware that, oh, there's a siren. Listening requires something. It's a bit more intent. You got to pay attention. Is that siren behind me? Is it coming ahead of me? What's my action? What's my next step? Right? That's the difference. So if you don't take away anything else, I want you to remember, listening and hearing are not the same thing. Last week, we ended our study, our story of Gideon. We've been working through a story about Gideon, God's hesitant hero, and we've been working through the story of the progression that God has him on, this development of him from kind of a nobody that's afraid to a mighty warrior that's chosen for God to enact this huge task for his glory, for God's glory. And last week we ended with talking about what to do when, not if, you're afraid, or if you're worried, or if you're doubtful, or if you're uncertain, or if you have concerns, or all whatever you want to place on it. And there were two things we talked about. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter tells us that if we have these kind of concerns and worries, we should bring them to God. Not hide and pretend that they're not there. Not try to just muscle up our own strength and say, well, I know I'm worried, but maybe if I just feel strong enough, I'll be able to stand up against it. But no, to bring them before God. And it says actually to cast them on him. When you cast them, it means get rid of them off of yourself and give them to God. And he tells us why. He says, because he cares for you. So take your burdens, your worries, your fears, your anxieties, give them to God because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. He wants to reach out. He wants to encourage. He wants to build up. He wants to support. He wants to come and fill in those places where we have. He doesn't want us to be anxious. What does the word say? What does Jesus say? Be anxious about nothing. Don't worry about all of this stuff. God doesn't want us to be anxious or worried. He doesn't want us to step out in faith and be afraid that something's not going to happen. He wants to come and fill in that space. Because he wants to do that, he's going to start speaking to us, showing us things, working in our lives and different things. And so our second thing that we learned right in the story about Gideon is that we need to listen. God tells Gideon, he says, if you're still afraid to attack, go down to the camp and listen to what the Midianites are saying. There's a value to listening. And it's not in this one specific instance. It's in so many areas of our life. There is a value to listening. I give my students a lot of times in their music lessons, I give assignments where I have them write essays on the they're little short paragraphs on the different periods of music history, where I want them to listen to a piece and then write a descriptive paragraph about the piece that they listened to. And I'm very specific to say listen to the piece. And what they do is they turn on the music and then they go do something else and it's playing along in the background. And then I ask them and they'll write the thing and I say, that's nice, but it's very generic. And I don't know that this applies to every piece. Like, I liked it. It was pretty. It was good music. That is not, you didn't listen. You heard it. It was on in the background. Or my least favorite is when I give them something like a symphony and it's like 15 minutes. That's all I'm asking. And I ask them, did you actually listen to the whole thing? They're like, well, no, I just listened to the first 30 seconds of it. And then I kind of just, you know, I figured that was the way it went. There was more to the story. There's difference between listening and hearing, and there's value to being still and concentrating and listen. Psalm 46, one of the translations doesn't just say be still, it says be silent and know that I'm God. There's value in silence. There's value in stillness. There's value in listening because it's in those moments where we can really hear, where we might just be encouraged, where we might find out something that we wouldn't know if we're busy doing something else. We can miss stuff. It's easy to miss stuff. And so in our story, God has slowly been grooming Gideon, preparing him over these different situations, testing not only just his listening, but also testing his obedience. Is he willing to do these small steps at first and then a little bigger and a little bigger? From the beginning, he's been not only challenging Gideon, but also encouraging him along the way. What does he say in the very beginning? God is what? With you, mighty warrior. And he says, you're not going to be fighting the Midianites. I'm going to be fighting. And he keeps throughout it. He always seems to bundle a challenge with an encouragement. Well, if Gideon's not listening, is he going to feel encouraged? No, he's going to feel overwhelmed. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I do. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. Could it be that we're feeling overwhelmed because sometimes we don't hear the full thing? We hear the challenge and then we stop listening and start worrying. But there's two parts to it. This challenge always coupled with an encouragement, with something to support, something to help out. Because see, it's not just that God's grooming Gideon in this. God's grooming us too. He's grooming us right now. He's challenging us in different areas in our lives. And at the same time, he wants to encourage us in different ways, sometimes in unexpected ways. But you can't obey God and you can't be encouraged unless you listen to him first. Just makes sense, right? See, we have to hone our listening skills too because God doesn't always speak in the ways we expect. All right, let's look at Gideon for a second. Let's go back to our story. If we start in Judges chapter 7, we're going to pick it up at verse 11. And so in verse 11, God, this is where he tells Gideon to go down and listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged, he says. And then he says, you'll be eager to attack. I'm going to kind of go through this part quick. God takes Purah. He goes down to the outposts of the camp. The armies of Midian and Amalek and the people of the east have settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. The camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too numerous to count. Gideon creeps down there just as a man is telling his friend about a dream. The man says, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, it turned it over, and it knocked it flat. And his friend says, your dream can only mean one thing. I find that part very interesting because I think a loaf of barley bread hitting a tent can mean, I like that moment. It can only mean one thing. It's the only thing it can mean. But it's God's interpretation through this person. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian. And when Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he thanked God, returned the Israelite camp, and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites. Let's stop right there. In verse 11, God tells Gideon to go and listen to what the Midianites are saying, right? Gideon hears this. He's listening to God. He hears it, and he obeys. He follows up with what's coming. In verse 13, he hears this dream. But what's interesting is not so much that he hears a dream, but where he hears the dream, from whom he hears the dream, because God uses in this moment the enemy to encourage Gideon. Isn't that weird? And it speaks to something that I think we can never hear enough, and that's that God is at work all around us. In all the moments of our day, God is working here and there in ways that we don't even see and we don't even understand. But clearly here, God is working in the enemy camp, giving dreams and interpretations. It can only mean one thing. God uses the enemy to encourage Gideon. The takeaway from this, I think, is that we have to listen everywhere. Be ready, because God may not just speak through the regular channels. I mean, he might. In fact, I think he mostly speaks through the channels that we're receptive to, like his word. You open up the Bible. You ever been reading the Bible and something jumps out at you that you'd never noticed before? You've read it 100 times and now all of a sudden it's crystal clear. Well, that's his spirit speaking to you through the word, trying to teach you, encourage you, build you up, challenge you, whatever it is. He might speak to you through his Holy Spirit, prompting you, guiding you in a moment when you just feel urged to do something. God may very well speak to you through an audible voice, right? I mean, that's how it happens with Gideon. It sounds like to me he's speaking the Lord, the voice of the Lord came to Gideon and said, might come to you. He might speak to you through a way that happens for me a lot of times, and that's through other believers. Other people come up and say, I've been hearing this. We just had a word this morning, a word of encouragement that comes. This is how God does things. He's speaking to us. He's at work all the time. Are we listening and hearing where he's working? But it's not just God speaking through the regular channels. He also speaks through some really odd places that we might not be expecting. In this story, he speaks through the enemy. Now, we may not have specific enemies in the world that we're encountering, but we certainly encounter non-believers, right? Not our enemies at all, but people that we may not be listening for God to be using to do something in our lives. Non-believers, or in this case, the enemy. He might even speak through a donkey. Do you remember that crazy story in Numbers? In chapter 22, in the book of Numbers, God shares this story about a guy named Balaam. And Balaam isn't paying attention. He's not listening. He's kind of, sort of listening to God. In fact, that's the angel's argument against him, is that you're not paying attention to me. If you remember this story, Balaam is about to go with the king, another king, to stand out, and he is being asked to curse the Israelites. And he's being called out to do this, and he's riding the donkey out of his camp and on his way there, and an angel of the Lord stands in the path. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord and veers off into a field, and Balaam beats the donkey back so he gets back on track. The angel of the Lord steps in the way again, and the donkey smashes Balaam's foot against the wall. And Balaam beats the donkey back on track. And then the angel of the Lord stands right in the middle where there's no way the donkey can get around. The donkey stops. Balaam gets up and he starts beating the donkey again, and God causes the donkey to speak. And I love it that Balaam never addresses that the donkey's talking. In fact, he just starts talking back to him. And the donkey says, you know, what have I done? Haven't I always been a good donkey? And Balaam says, but why did you do and all of this? And then God opens his eyes to see the angel of the Lord. And Balaam falls down. He says, I didn't see you. He says, I know. That's why I was speaking and showing through your donkey. God wants our attention. God wants to communicate with us, with his people. When we are going astray, God wants our attention. When we're doing exactly what God has called us to do, he wants our attention. He wants to communicate with us, to engage with us, to interact with us at every step along the way, to encourage us to keep going, or to discourage us from going off track and get us back in line with him. Whatever the case, you are never in a place in your life where God is not wanting to communicate with you. If you're not hearing from God at that moment, you need to press in. You need to seek him deeper. God is always consistently and constantly wanting to be in relationship with his people. The whole Bible is a story of a God who created us for a relationship. That relationship was broken, and he has desired from that point forward to build that relationship back up. Relationships are built on communication. Communication, the foundation of it, is that we're able to listen to one another. We trust that God hears us when we speak, right? He wants the same. When he speaks, we're listening. That's how Samuel did it. When God calls him and he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Translation, speak. Tell me, God, because I'm ready to do whatever you say, because listening what? It requires a response. It requires an interaction. He doesn't just want this, yeah, God, I hear you. Yeah, right, I've got it. He wants us to listen, to give him our full attention. So let's get back to our story here. In 11b, in the next part of verse 11, Gideon hears the dream. And going on from there all the way through verse 14, he hears the dream and he hears the dream's interpretation. He's encouraged, right? And then in verse 15, he responds. Let's look at how Gideon responds. There's two ways that he responds. The first thing he does in verse 15 is he thanks God. Every week in church, we do this thing, we just did it this morning 15 minutes ago, called continuing the conversation. continuing the conversation is an opportunity for us to share not only our prayer requests, where we need to hear from God, but our praise reports, where we have heard from God, where we have seen God move and act, and we have been encouraged and strengthened. And we share that for the specific point of being able to be thankful in the presence of other believers to how God has worked. When we are thankful to God, we put in ourselves in a position to realize that without His interaction, we wouldn't be in the place that we are now. We wouldn't be sharing what had happened. It's a reminder that we not only need to cry out to God when we need Him, but thank Him when He acts. And so God encourages Gideon. And Gideon is thankful, but it's a little bit more than that. See, that word throughout Scripture, if you see where it says thankful in the Old Testament, it doesn't just mean, thank you, God. It's more than that. It's a lot more than that. In fact, the word means worshiped the Lord. And it means worship the Lord. It means a little different to us nowadays. Back then, it meant that you would bow down, prostrate on the ground, completely putting yourself under in submission to one who was greater than you, one who you were wishing to honor. And you showed it, not just with your physical presence, with your heart, your head, and everything bowed down in worship. That's what Gideon does. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he thanked, he worshiped, he bowed low and humbled himself before God to show his submission. But then part two, Gideon thanks God, and then what does he do? He is motivated to action. God said he would be. Right in verse 11b, he says, listen to what the Midianites are saying. You'll be greatly encouraged. Then you'll be eager to attack. And he is. I mean, let's look at that progression for a second. He's been listening to God from the beginning, Gideon has. He's been hearing from God, and it's been this cycle of listening, responding, listening, responding, again and again. And so he hears him about going down into the Midianite camp. Gideon goes. He responds. That cycle has continued. And then he receives the encouragement. And then he reacts with worship and with action. And look at what happens next in 15b. He runs back to the camp and he says, get up, get up. The Lord has given the victory to the Midianites. Now I want you to remember, it's the middle of the night. That's what time it is. It's around midnight when he wanted him to go down to the Midianite camp. And it's a little later than that now. It's the middle of the night. And Gideon comes back into the camp. It's him and his servant, and they're screaming, get up, get up. Why? God has given you victory. Did you catch that? I want you to notice something. First, that was God's word to Gideon. Wasn't God's word to Gideon from the beginning? I have given you victory. And now it's Gideon's word to the people. You see, God's word became Gideon's word. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what's supposed to happen. The Bible says that we're supposed to hide God's word in our heart so that we won't sin against God. But more than that, we're supposed to hide God's word in our heart so that it becomes part of who we are. So that we become, that God's word becomes our words. His attitude becomes our attitude. His response becomes our response. That our lives become indistinguishable from the way God would respond and act in a certain situation. And so it took quite a while, but Gideon's now acting. God's word has now become Gideon's word. He's internalized it. And so he comes to the middle of the night here and he says, get up, get up. Why? Why the urgency? Well, it's because God is doing something right now. God's doing something. He says, let's go. Let's get after it. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever heard from God? You feel the Spirit's prompting in a moment and you know that now's the time. You know that now is when you are supposed to do something. That now is when you're supposed to pray for something. Now's the time to act. Now's the time to go do it. Have you ever been in that situation when you felt that? I know I have. Have you ever missed that time? You ever know that God gave you for a word for somebody, felt led to witness to somebody, whatever the situation, and you hesitate, don't respond, and then the moment's gone? That opportunity has disappeared? It can be incredibly disappointing. It can be incredibly discouraging not to reach that point to where Gideon has, where your word is God's word, where God's word has been internalized so much in our hearts that we just respond, get up, God's doing something, come on, let's go. But it's very natural, and it happens a lot. It's easy to miss these moments. God doesn't need us to encounter the world. He doesn't. But He wants to use us. He wants to use us to grow His church. He wants to use us to build people up. He wants to use us to encourage others. He wants us to be involved in His ministry, to be His hands and His feet, to be His church. That's our goal. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's what He wants for us. And we can do it if we can first recognize what I said at the beginning. We can recognize what Jesus said, which is, my Father is always working. If we can just recognize that God is at work all around us all the time, God is doing the stuff. All right, how much more encouraged would we be to step out in faith in a moment where we know that God is calling us to do something? He's calling us to give a word. He's calling us to say something that may be a little outside of our comfort zone. How much more encouraged would we be if we knew that God had already done it? God had already laid the groundwork. In Psalm 23, it says that, that David says that God has prepared a place for me in the presence of my enemies, right? Is that not what God did for Gideon right there? Prepares a way. He's gone ahead of Gideon into the battle. He's giving the words of knowledge. He's giving dreams. He's already striking fear into the heart of the people. He's already done the task. He's already gone ahead of it. Jesus, when they're in the country of Samaria with the disciples, he says, look out at the fields. They are ready. Saul talks about it later on in the New Testament. He says, look, I have laid the groundwork and other people have laid the groundwork and some are going to be planting the seeds and others are going to be sowing it. For whatever place you encounter, God is already laying the groundwork. God is already moving ahead. How much easier would it be for you to step out in faith, to step out into the battle, to step into this uncomfortable place if you know that He is already preparing the place ahead of you, that He's already been doing and laying the groundwork. When that person comes to you and says, yes, you can pray for me, guess what? God's already been working. When you feel an urge from the Holy Spirit to give a word of knowledge or to pray for healing for somebody, guess what? It's God that initiated that in you. We don't walk around the street going, boy, I think I'm going to pray for that person or that person. God prompts that in us. What do we have to do? Two things. We've got to be listening and then we've got to respond. That's it. Listen, respond, look where God is already working. That's what we see modeled in the story of Gideon. Gideon listens, he's encouraged to do it, and then he responds. And guess what? When he responds and he sees God working, do you know what Gideon is the next time? More encouraged, more ready to listen, more ready to respond. That's how it happens. It's this cycle. Listen, respond, see where is God's work, where is God working? That's the real story here. It's listening, not just hearing passive. Yeah, God, I hear you. It's active listening, paying attention. Where is God working? Specifically, what is he saying? And then what's our response back? He wants to use us in our daily lives, in a regular encounters with everyday people. If we can recognize that he's always working, if we can do that, and if we're simply willing to follow his lead, if we're simply willing to obey, if we're simply willing to say, here I am, send me, speak. Your servant is listening. I mean, God's word should always engender a response from us. Always. He is the good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. The shepherd leads the sheep. Our job is just to go where he's telling us to go. It sounds easy when you put it that way, and I know the reality is it's very difficult because our spirit wars with our flesh. Right? God's spirit in our mind wars with our own thoughts and our own fears. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And because he cares for you, he is constantly working ahead of you, doing the work and preparing the way so that you can jump right in and interact with where he's moving and where he's working. Be prepared. God may speak to you in unexpected and uncommon ways, but if you learn to listen, you will hear his word everywhere. You will see him moving everywhere. You will encounter God in the most unlikely places, and you will be so, so encouraged. So in your life, look for those opportunities. Where is God working? How can I be more than just a passive observer in the Christian faith? How can I be an active participant in what God has called me to? How can I recognize that my Father is always working, and so I must always be working? It was Jesus' desire, and it needs to be our desire. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have prepared a place for us in the world, that you go ahead of us, carving out situations, strategically planning and placing things so that we will encounter you, putting things in our path and in our way so we'll stop going the wrong way. God, I pray that you would use us. Lord, use your church. Use the people here. Use the people that are in just hearing my voice right now, God, that you would use them to further your kingdom. Lord, it's not for our goodness or our greatness. It's not to make us famous. It's not for our praise, to further your kingdom. Give us a willingness to respond, God. Give us an excitement and encouragement. May we be like Gideon. May we be eager to jump in to the battle. May we be ready to do it and excited for what you want to do. Don't give us a spirit of fear and timidity, God, but a spirit of strength in you, confidence in you. Lead us where you want us to go. God, for each one here that is hearing that right now and is feeling very nervous, thank you. Would you just give us the strength to stand against that? Help us to know that that means you're doing something. God, just teach us where you want us to go. Help us to see it clearly. I ask your blessing over your people. If there's anyone here who just is struggling with that or needs to hear from you more clearly, just pray that you'd press into their hearts. And so, God, we thank you and we bless you. Ask you to, it's in Jesus' holy name we pray.